The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Now, I want to talk to you because you're obviously upset.
Permission is granted.
Glad I met you. I'm glad I met you, James.
I was not considering the fact that I, in fact, am the third man, capital T, capital D, capital M. But I am.
I want to show you something.
Let's take off all our clothes.
And maybe that's true. And that's what I said.
That's the how we used to sing it. I'm sorry. That's just the way we used to sing it. It's the way you should sing it from now on.
But look at this. What is this?
I hate to put a negative spin on this, because it's great to drink, and everyone loves to drink.
They say you should not drink alcohol when it's so hot.
And I've talked about this, too, in the past, when I talked about soccer moms.
That was so good.
No, I didn't talk about soccer moms.
Excuse me for saying it. It's not even my place to say it.
I'm talking about soccer moms who became roller derby moms. And don't...
It was the old stuff.
And don't you think I haven't stopped. I have given up on the roller derby thing. Let's just get Pi Kim on the phone.
Wait. Where are the phones?
They took the phones.
Huh? We're not using Skype. Tonight, today, this afternoon.
You're such a hero. You're so rich. How come you're coming down here and waste your time with such a bunch of bums?
But let's not get into that. Let's not talk about me. Even though it is all about me. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about Nancy.
What did I learn as a kid on Western? You don't sell a guy one car.
But I believe that, you know, we could have a lot more fun. I'm not trying to be politically correct here either.
So I don't know, do I?
Let me have your attention for a moment.
Do what you got to do if you're a neo-postmodernist, and I know you are.
What is that?
Look, just go. Jay, the best thing to do is to just Google the gal.
Let's talk about something important.
I really am when it comes to this thing.
Let's talk about something important.
Just a whole nother angle just took place in my head.
Put that coffee down.
Let's forget about drugs and medicine. Let's talk about sex.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
That's going to be happening. I got some things to cover before we get there. Dirty Things Get Stiff by Frank Cotolo.
It may mean something to you. It may not. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Does that mean that if you dirty things stand, dirty things get stiff? Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this way. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on! Everyone! You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Crackles.
I'm Frank Cotolo, and I approve this e-cast. And living is all about following through. You got to follow through. You can change your mind, but you have to follow through on how you change it, too. That's why this is an e-cast. It's not a podcast, and it never will be a podcast unless you play it through an iPod. But nobody has an iPod unless you get onto eBay and buy one for $137 or whatever. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I promised you Dusty Nathan, and I'm going to give you Dusty Nathan. And I, together again, it's been a long time. But we're both here on this great green planet and ready to talk. On the e-cast. You get that? Because I am the godfather of internet broadcasting, radio, you know? I'm the bard of broadcasting, internet, radio. I'm the third man, the vegetable man, and all the men you ever need, along with Mr. Dusty Nathan. Right now, live. And if you're not listening live, it's going to sound live, that's for sure. From Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. There it goes. I was wondering, and it's working. I was wondering if my boiler was working. Boiler? Boiler, broiler, boiler? I am Frank Catolo, and you're welcome for the wonderful radio. You're here. I'm so happy to be here tonight. I'm not always happy to be here. Okay, you tolerate me, I tolerate you, we get along. But I'm really happy to be here tonight to reunite with Dusty Nathan, who I promised. And, you know, I went out of my way. I don't go out of my way for people, okay? Certain people, I go out of my way to get them on this show. And I tried and I tried and I tried, and they heard something bad. And we're going to talk about resilience like you won't. Well, maybe I hope you do believe in, because it can happen. Mr. Dusty Nathan, back from a perilous journey through health and through, well, you say, if you say health in general, how's your health? Bad health, good health, and a perilous journey through living life. And he'll be here and we'll be talking about that. No podcast. He said, that's what the follow through is all about. Okay. And everybody says that I'm never going to get everybody. I'm probably not going to get anybody to stop saying it. They have polluted the very language of this, my founding land in the cyberspace. I didn't find cyberspace. I mean, you know, I was here before them all, and then the podcast came along. Did they even know it? They don't know anything. They. You're not one of them because you're on this show, listening to this show, this voice, and this person who is always one with the universe. Oh, yeah. And I laugh at that. Why? Because it's funny. What do we have? Oh, I got to tell you about the stuff coming up because, you know, Dusty Nathan can happen. And it's been a very good year so far. We've had a bunch of people on. Let me remind you then, since we've had a bunch of people on already, here are the places you have to go. Because I got to keep these people going because they're part of this this family of broadcasting that is kind of still off the beaten track because all the personalities came in and do their podcast. This is an e-cast. And so are theirs, but they don't know it. All right, done for that. Mary Parr is still on YouTube, and she's a delightful and fun, for all ages, host on the YouTube broadcasting thing. So you can go get her at YouTube, Mary Parr, P-A-R-R, like Jack Parr. But she doesn't know Jack Parr. She's so young, and most of you people don't either. A couple of weeks ago, we had Jonathan Geffner on, and he's got a series going on YouTube also. Trillo and Suede, Jonathan, a great ventriloquist. And there are bad ventriloquists, so, you know. And the series, you can see all six episodes. I think the sixth one just dropped. There's the new term. It dropped. What did they say? Released. They used to say released. Released became dropped. I wonder if you could change dropped, changed released in other ways that you use the word, since you use it here for presenting a new, like a new album, releasing, and he released an album. He dropped an album now, right? He was released from prison. You can say he was dropped from prison. Okay. Can you do that now? You can do anything you want. That's what screws it up, actually. What can I tell you? Trillo and Suede now running episode 6 of 10 and then season 2. And then, we'll get to Jonathan on again. We had a great time with him. He came out. See, they come back, even when, one way or another. Okay, episode 6. You got Mary Parr. Who else do we have here? We got the Artist D. Just go to theartistd.com. New shows with her and Anne Marie. I think that's Saturday morning. I know that's a tough time for a lot of you in the time zone where it's early. It'd be great for you people in, Australia, right? And
for you people in England even. That's 5 hours later. It'll be Saturday afternoon. It is Saturday, isn't it? I think it's Saturday. I didn't look about there too. Go there. And books, you want to get Craig Lena's. Craig is going to come back on the show and talk about young adult. It's one of the biggest markets in books, and then there are any left, right? Analog books. Craig's a award-winning young adult. He's not a young adult writer because he's not a young adult. He's a writer of young adult material. And we talk as writers. We have a lot in common. Maybe not a lot, but you don't want to have two people on that have too much in common because it's a dull conversation. It's a bad mix. It's an awkward time. Also, last week, Jiggy Jaguar was on and we talked about the, AVN, Adult Video N Network Convention, which Jiggy always, covers one way or another. And, he's looking for a couple of, he's going to find a couple of professional porn stars, male and female, or whatever. And we're going to have a down to earth talk, not one of these publicity things. Okay. And we'll find out who that might be. It might be someone I don't even know because of the turnover. You can go back and listen to that show at a Juiced Talk and all of the other shows. Maybe not all the other shows. There's not 20 years of shows there. You could go back and listen to shows at juicedtalk.com. Juiced. You know, hey, that guy hit those home runs. Well, how? He was juiced. Juicedtalk.com. There's a bunch of other shows there too from many people for us. And so what's coming up? What do we do? We didn't run out of guests. It's early. It's only February. Ruary, not in Brooklyn, New York. It's February. They toss out the R. There's no R in February. If you grow up in Brooklyn, it's February. And if you make an honest mistake in English, as everyone will do, even people who know English well, will make mistakes speaking and writing English. But when they argue the wrong thing, in other words, if you correct somebody and they argue it, because I knew people who grew up in Brooklyn, were educated. Well, you know, they were tried to be educated in Brooklyn. And when came time for them to actually leave city for any reason whatsoever, they would say things like, it's February. And someone said, that's February. February. And they would go, that's how you say it down here, huh? It's February. There's an R. There's an R. The R is silent. And then the guy goes, no, it's not. Boom. And right there he goes, now you're silent too. And that's the end of that. Point being, there is no point. The point being, it's February already. We got plenty of stars coming up. They're on our show with stars, and including stars. We also had Charles Dennis on earlier in the year. It already seems like we've had more guests in the first month and a week, than we had last year in 6 months. I don't know. I don't keep track. Here's what I'm saying. We're going to have a lot of other guests, including, we had Charles Dennis on a while back and his series. Charles is always doing something, and you want to buy his books too. That's another thing. Go to Amazon, Charles Dennis. It's easy. It's two first names, Charles Dennis, and pick up one of his books. The one about the Germans in Hollywood is good. The Nazis in Hollywood. No, it's not called Nazis in Hollywood. I forgot because I don't have it in front of me. But just look for Charles Dennis. Any of those books are good, great. You can get them in digital. Just like you can get mine at Amazon.com and at Lulu.com and at, why was I going to say Brady? Why do I always forget the Molotov Memoirs place? Just put in Molotov Memoirs and you'll find it. But anyway, when Charles was on, he had, we had one of some other people on. We had a guy named Fred Malamed, who is a veteran actor. He's one of those guys you always know when you see him and you just never remember his name. Fred Malamed, since And I'm fall into that category too, because he came on the show. He was one of four people we were talking to: Jonathan Coogan, Charles Dennis, him, and Malamud's son, who's also an actor and quite a mime. Not a mime. He's quite an impressionist. But anyway, since then, Fred Malamud is showing up in lots of new things. He's getting a lot of work, and that's good. It's always good. I was watching Medical Police, which is a spin-off from the Children's Hospital thing that used to be on Adult Swim. And Fred was in any number of episodes. He plays a very important part, a role. Not a part, a role. A role is a part. And I saw him in something else, too. I saw him in a series I couldn't continue to watch. You know, it gets very difficult to stay on top of, especially if you fall behind. I'm not a binger, okay? I can watch one or two episodes at a time of something, and you really got to be into it. But some things I can't get through. I give them, you know, I see the pilot, and then I see a little bit of the next one. Or the pilot. Some pilots turn me off. And I'll talk more about pilots and other things when the time comes, because the time is not here right now. But see if we can get Fred on again, get Charles on again. Also, oh, by the way, wake up. It's night, okay? And I mean, just look around you, listen to what's happening in current events, and you'll know it is indeed night. Wake up. We're going to go through that again one of these days. So we've got a lot of things we're going to do this year. There's Trillo and Suede. Okay. What else do I have? Oh, those are notes from that show. I'm going to get to whenever the Coconut Monkey Rocket knew the new coconut. See, when you say something and I said it and I said it wrong or incorrectly, I didn't say it wrong because I said it incorrectly. I went back. See, it's all about follow up. And you're going to learn more about that when Mr. Dusty Nathan comes on. I know you will. Jason Emmett. Now, I haven't talked to Jason in a while, but he promised that when the Coconut Monkey Rocket CD, or I don't know what to call it anymore, it's a collection of musical files. What do you call it? Songs, music, tracks? Tracks. Let's call it tracks. When the next Coconut Monkey Rocket bunch of tracks is out, we're going to put them on. Jason can tell us about it. In the meantime, something else. I'm here pitching everything. Anybody who comes on this show, you got a product, you got something going, I'm pitching it, okay? Because you come on this show, because you go where you should go, to the original internet broadcasting talk show, right? Me, this, that. The Coconut Monkey Rocket, if you put that into your Bing or your Yahoo or your Google or your Mr. Cheeves, is there still Ask Mr. Cheeves or whatever, search engine? Put it into your favorite search engine. What? Coconut Monkey Rocket. And you'll go to the page where you can buy, and you can even hear some of the tracks that exist. This is one of the most wonderful of all the digital pieces of music that have come together. That's a good one. I also want you, if you go to, why don't you do this too? While you're going to, and this isn't free, I'm going to give you something that's free. My son, my other son, two sons, two. They're not twins. You might remember, oh, what's going on? All that screaming. Two sons who have both been on this show, and my oldest one, my eldest son, Jack Cotolo, go to SoundClick. Or SoundPlay, one of those sound places. I don't know. Just put in, go to your favorites, look at it, search engine, look at it engine. I find it. Go to your, and put in Jack Cotolo. You'll find his. He's got some wonderful, crazy electronic stuff going on. It's not all electronic. It's like stuff I used to do in the early days when nobody wanted to come on the internet. And we used to do music, which is not all digital electronic. It's a mixture, which is, I think, is great, even though, you know, you don't hear a lot of it late. But that's for you to decide. So you can go to get it. That's free. Coconut Monkey Rocket, you buy the... I want to tell you something about the Coconut Monkey Rocket. I've said this before. I'll say it again. It's part of the pitch. The Coconut Monkey Rocket music... when you're driving, you can, and you're paying attention, which I hope you're doing, paying attention to where you're going, your steering, your turns, you know, your, I don't know, what else do they have? Cars look like they drive themselves, and the ones that don't ride themselves really help you drive it easier because of the now digital platform. But when you're driving along, especially if it's a long, you know, those wide turns, like, you know, not city driving or town driving or village driving or hamlet driving, but out there on the open road, as they say. And Coconut Monkey Rocket may be among the few best. See that? There's like, that's what I'm telling you. If I say among the best, he's telling me, well, how many's on your list of best? 500? What does that mean, right? No, among the few best soundtracks, soundscapes, let's call it a soundscape because some people call it that, then you could listen to, feel good while you're just driving along. Maybe you're going a little bit, everybody goes above the speed limit on the open road, right? Coconut Monkey Rock. Now, there's another kind of a spin-off of Coconut Monkey Rocket called Martini Bomb. Martini Bomb. These are two guys, Eric and Ryan. I don't know their last names. I haven't talked to them. I've only heard about them from Jason Emmett of the Coconut Monkey Rocket. And we're going to get them on the show, too. We have Dr. Rice is going to be back because we're going to talk about some things with Dr. Rice because he's... He's always interesting. It's always good to talk to a professional psychiatrist. Speaking of doctors, where's Dr. Popoli? If you're within the sound of my voice or broadcast, please, Dr. Popoli. I know I got to call him again. Got to try and get in touch with him. I worry about that guy. Well, we'll get him back. And he promised to go on. He was going to come on and do a show about vaping. And he had all this information that was it was great. If he could have been on the night that I talked with him, and said he wanted to get some people prepare for this show to be on. Yeah. They're not like me. I never rehearse. I'm always prepared. But, so he wanted to get a whole bunch of stats. He's a statistician too. You know, doctor. He's a professor doctor. And he wants to talk about vaping. And he had a lot of stuff just off the top of his head that I later started to hear on special news reports and various talk shows that I don't listen to completely, you know, and news things about vaping. But he's the best, and I'm going to get him, and he's going to come on, right? Aren't you? Okay, so there's him. Those are ones I know, actually. It sounds like you got scripts and stuff now. These are just papers that have been sitting in this folder for years. So there's tons of things that we also have to do. Let me tell you this much before we go and get, Dusty. We haven't done any classic Cotolo reruns, rebroadcasts, re-e-casts. Sometimes I do a show and we stick into it. A large hunk of the show is a portion from another show that people, you know, we've been on so long, people go through the blog, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, and they go, well, wait, I never heard this show. I wasn't listening in 2008. I wasn't listening in 2001, right? All that stuff. I wasn't listening in 2013. Okay. So if you go to CotoloChronicles.com and you scroll, you'll see any number of, entries. Pictures talking about the show that was on that week. I think it goes back to 2000. I don't know when I do this all the time. Just go through it. There's plenty of entries there. Find a show there. Write down the date and say, you know, I never heard the show that you talked about this issue or that topic. Let's not call them issues because we're going to take sides. In this topic or that topic or this guest and that guest. We got a lot of great guests on that we've had on once or maybe twice. If they want to hear what they had to say, I want to hear what they had to say. A lot of great people that you don't hear anywhere else. If you listen for people anywhere, I don't know. Okay. And of all different flavors, all different categories, places, nouns. All different people talking about places and things. So, see? Easy. Then you write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and you say the date, or you say, you write the date, say, this was on, I saw this on there. Or you don't have time to scroll through, because lots of people don't have time to do the things that people on radio, e-casts, people on e-casts tell you to, I don't require you, I don't tell you, I don't command or demand, I suggest. You could just write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and you could say something like, did you ever talk about the tigers in that are becoming extinct? Huh? Did you ever talk about what they do to apes in the Congo? Why am I suddenly thinking about, these are the ones that come up the top of my head. Or did you ever have this person on the broadcast? Yeah, you know, like Kurt Brando too. I got to get Kurt Brando back on this year sometime. Find out what time zone he's in. These are special, wonderful people, great guests, knowledgeable people. They're humorous. They're entertaining and educational. So you can get all of them right here on Cotolo Chronicles for as long as I go on. But this is just going to go on and on. So we're going to do that too when we don't have a guest. And I will monitor the show. I'll come on. We'll do like I'm doing now. We'll do some talking. Then we'll play that section for as long as that section may be. And we'll come back at the end and do a little dance and get down. You know, so that's it. Then we'll get out of here. Also, oh, wait, what am I talking about? Wait a second. I also talked to Tom Savino last week, and he said he's going to be on again. So even though his show, I'm not talking about his show now. We'll talk about his show, Savino Veritas, and his blog, and wherever else he carries the Savino Veritas pole with the flag on it. And, of course, my old radio partner, Tom Savino, from the real old days. And he will be on the show, too. So there you go. Others will come and others will go. But, you know, we'll figure that out. You know where to buy the books. You know what to do. That's what you should do in your spare time, especially since it's Valentine's Day coming up. Hey, we're going to be on. When are we going to be on? Today's the 6th. Let's see. 7th, 8th, 9th. Are we going to be on Valentine's? Oh, we're going to be on the 13th. So we'll be on, okay. But we don't do shows related to days or holidays or things, right? We're just through to the Thursdays, live as we can be. Usually if we're not live, we're up on the cloud. Just go to the same link and go up on the cloud. And I do things on there too, but we just don't do a show, an e-cast, a live e-cast, or a re-e-cast. re-e-cast. That would be broadcast. Let's see. A re-e-cast. I don't know. We'll figure that one out there too. So anyway, if you want to hear this show and you missed it because you're not here now, even though you'd be here now if you're listening to it on a repeat, juicedtalk.com. That's where all the shows that are connected to me and a lot of the originals who brought this, the theater of broadcasting to the world, us, right here. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. And we're going to get onto Skype. I don't want to tell you a lot about Dusty Nathan. You should know it a lot about him. He's a writer. He's a journalist. He's a lot of things. And he ran into some trouble, as we all do. And those of you who know how the trouble I've run into, emergency health issues, this has nothing to do with age, my friends. This has to do with the living, the things that happen to you when you're living, and the resilient adventure of Dusty Nathan coming up. Talk to by Dusty Nathan himself. And we're going to share, I'm going to share with you some of the things and him, you know, some of the things that have happened. So this is going to be very enlightening. I know I'm not afraid of doing something dark and mysterious or, you know, negative, because that happens. You know, we step through the life that way. But anyway, we're going to call Mr. Dusty Nathan. You can hear it right now. Dun, 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 dun. You could call him right now, right on the money. This is like on the money Yeah, it's on the money, 9:30. We're waiting for Dusty Nathan to pick up. Okay.
Good evening.
There's Dusty.
Good evening, Frank. How are you?
I'm Jiffy Dandy Doodly Brick.
Oh, good. Good. Let me just adjust everything.
Yeah, you sound fine. I was telling everyone, we sound fine. We finally got you here. We got the Skype.
Oh, great. That's good. And I'm going to let you, is my camera on for you?
No.
But hold on a minute.
It's all right. Nobody else is going to see it either, so.
Okay.
Man, don't worry. We're doing radio. Let's do radio. No pictures.
I'm listening to you. Nope. How you doing, buddy? Good
to
see
you. He puts his picture on anyway.
I put it on anyway. Why not?
I like it. I like it because you're looking good.
It's not going to slow down the stream, is it?
No. You would never slow. You and I talking.
We can't slow the stream.
There's no stream slowing.
No, when it's the just two of all us, one way. It's absolutely. Flowing. It's overflowing.
They know. They remember that we've had people ask for you during your trying times. I, for one, I was talking about Dr. Rice because he's going to come on again one of these days, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really enjoy being around him and hearing him talk. You know,
he's
a very level-headed guy, and he's like us. He's a man of many different hats. He's done a lot of different things.
Only now, he's smarter.
Absolutely. Okay. He's into professional wrestling now.
You mean he's into it? You mean he likes it?
No, I mean he's into it. For a while he was counseling a lot of wrestlers, psychiatrically. And then he started to do a lot of reading in the neurological part of wrestling, you know, like the football players that get beat up mentally. From getting concussions and all. And then what happened was he bought into a small, not the WWF, but, not the WWE rather, but he bought into a small league in New England.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually the commissioner of wrestling of his league.
I guess people,
he's one of the owners. Yeah.
People don't, realize that, even though wrestling is for all due purposes orchestrated, people can get hurt. They do. They actually fall. They fall. They jump. They hit.
Now listen, one of my problems now after my stroke, we'll get into that in a while, is it names. Who was it? The actor, very famous comedian who,
it's funny,
you know who I mean?
I know. You're Jim Carrey, right?
No, he wrestled. I think Jim Carrey played him.
No. Oh, Jim Carrey played. Oh, of course.
Yeah, who,
I've been like this with names too, and I didn't have.
Oh, no, not you.
Yes, I did on names.
Not spreading, is it?
No, I did a show with him. Of course I know the,
my goodness.
I know him.
Oh, no.
Everyone knows him. The man on the moon. The moon.
Right. What's going on here?
I know.
It was my stroke.
This is wild.
As soon as I tell people, I can't remember names anymore since my stroke, they say I can't remember names either.
And that is not
everybody I talk to.
It's true. You know what I think? I think there's just too much. I think there's too much in your mind when you get to a certain age, if you really pick
so
up
too.
Too. But
I think you've learned. You've been to so many places, learned so many names, known so many people that it becomes overload. And
Andy.
You know,
Andy something.
Yeah,
Andy
something.
Quick quack.
Right.
Andy.
That wasn't good enough.
No, it wasn't. Andy.
That didn't help me.
Anyway.
Right, it's Andy.
It is Andy. Okay.
It is Andy. So, what have you been doing, Frank?
Me? Well, I don't want to waste a lot of time. Everybody's been listening to this show knows
well, they
the
know
stuff
what you've
I...
been doing, but I told my people today when I said I was coming on here that I told them a lot about. You do a lot of things still today.
I do a lot of things. I'm a very busy man.
Dropped off, right? Like you do. I don't know if your listeners around the world know that you do things like.
You forgot my name. You know who I am, right?
You play. This is why I don't do radio. But here's some things you do. Here's some things you do. And probably never talk about on the air.
Okay, what?
I think you coffee house a lot at. You're performing a number of coffee houses.
Number of them. Yes. Some here, there, some there. Yeah, I do that now and then, right?
And, of course, you've written quite a few books.
Quite a few.
And you market those over Amazon.
Some of them.
Some of them.
Yeah, there are ones I'm marketing in other places at the moment, but.
You've got the oldest streaming internet, talk show, on the air globally. You're still here after all these years.
Yes.
It's almost 20 years, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Around 2000 or thereafter, wasn't it?
Yeah. Here and there, I've been reminding people of this because of, you know, cause we paved a road. We were pioneers, you know, and now nobody.
Absolutely.
And now nobody, you know, there are people who
now
don't.
Now there's a million guys on the air.
Yeah.
Podcasting and things.
And yeah, and the podcasting thing I've been against now because there are no more podcasts, no more iPods. So I don't know what we call them.
I didn't know that even.
We call them e-casts. Oh, you kidding? Okay. Who walks around with a podcast? Everybody's got a phone, right?
I didn't know that. Everything. I didn't know there was no podcast.
Don't make me yell at you. You're getting better.
Oh. All right. Okay. Now, so what has it morphed into? Just streaming?
People don't
need the podcast. They can stream it.
Sure. You know, your phone can do everything. That phone, you used to have, imagine if you had to carry all the things, all the machine, all the hardware that a phone, handles, functions. Imagine if you had to carry that around with you. We can't get on the internet. I got apps now. Ever since apps were invented.
That was the end of pods?
Podcast. Nobody has an iPod anymore. Are you kidding me? Remember iPods used to,
Walkman.
Yeah.
It's like a VHS.
And you had to buy, and if you filled up the hard drive, you had to buy another one.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe you did it one time.
Well, look, I never actually did my, any streaming off pods.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, I skipped that era altogether, that's why I didn't know it was, extinct and defunct.
Don't you worry. The point is that people who haven't, you know, we've been on through a couple of generations, so there's people who may not know when I'm talking, I keep talking about Dusty Nathan, try to explain we've had similar.
Inexplicable.
Yeah, it's true. As a personality, but not, Dusty. Dusty is Dusty's been a journalist for like years and years and years.
Too long.
And, that's how, I met him originally. He's been in broadcasting. He's been on in Philadelphia, New Jersey. I'll just name some more. Atlanta, Chicago, Wyoming. Boise,
Detroit, right.
Detroit, he's been in and that's in the days when radio was radio. Okay,
when men were men and jukeboxes were ghetto blasters.
Yeah, and you know personalities, not talking points of political crap and junk that people.
Oh my goodness! I'll tell you, I'm getting into a row with a very close friend of mine tonight on Facebook.
Don't.
You know what?
Don't.
I'm getting so tired of these politics.
Don't.
On both sides. Here's all I did tonight, Frank. I got to confess this.
Go ahead.
To your minions. Listen to this. All I did was say that Mitt Romney was right for reaching across for decency and honesty. And a bunch of people from both sides of the aisle attacked me for various different reasons.
Yeah, you can't say
anything. You can't say anything about politics without being attacked.
I think the issue here for me is not that as much as the place where it takes place most, and that's Facebook. I do not go, you know, one of the reasons I don't get to you a lot.
You don't go on anymore.
Very rarely am I there to talk to anyone or do anything, and I had to.
A couple minutes here and there, you check your messages is all.
You see, guys like you and I, we know the phony stuff, so, you know, we know what's real and not real because, we've been around, you know, and it's just become this factory of opinions that I don't care about. I don't care.
People get very hateful.
Yeah.
They're
very possessive of their opinions, and it's just, I have time to do this. I have things to do.
Let me ask you a question. I was
one of the first 10,000 people on Facebook, so I know.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
were you?
I know. Way back when people were just being fun. Go ahead, what were you going to tell
me? Hold on. I don't want to quit the application. It says, do you want to quit the application? It'll end all calls.
No.
I don't. But I do want to say this to anybody who happens to be listening. If they want to join us, you were saying something yesterday, like they could join us on Skype. Now, how would they do that if they're listening right now and would like to send an IM to us? Or
they call us or IM us at our address. So mine is Frank Cotolo. Yours is what, just Dusty Nathan?
Dusty Nathan, right. Right.
They just write to it. They get onto Skype and they go there. If they're not contacts of us, they could send us a thing. We make them a contact and they come on.
Oh, okay. And they could friend us.
Yeah, whatever.
So they could friend Frank Cotolo on Skype or Dusty Nathan. And they could what? We could join? They could join us?
If they have something to say and they want to talk, I don't want to make this into a talk call-in show. But
okay.
If they have something to say or something special or something
They could.
Yeah, we could have a conference type thing. We could do that. You could conference people. But I don't want to jeopardize the fact that you and I have a good connection here now.
Oh, good. You know? All right. Well, then let's get on with this. So, I'll tell you one thing I wanted to discuss. I wondered if you're ready to hear this.
Everyone's ready. That's why they're here.
Not easy for me to talk about it, but I did want to share this with you because I don't think I've really told you yet what happened.
You did not, and that's why. And I was happy that you were going to share it with everybody because I thought you wouldn't.
Yep.
But go ahead. I've talked about problems I've had and everything, and people know what's happened to me over the years. Hey, where'd you go?
Well, you know what? I'm here, but
okay.
You know what?
Don't need the picture.
I'm playing with my settings. Here's what I was going to say to you, right? Turn on your cam so I can look at you.
I can't because I don't have it.
Okay.
See?
Well, listen to this.
We'll do that another time.
That's what ugly girls tell you when you say, I want to see you. I can't. I don't have a camera. Hold on a minute. I'm joking.
You say ugly girls?
That's right.
I like that.
Okay, anyway, listen to this. Here's what happened. I mean, it's crazy. And the fact of the matter, since I never told you, instead of just telling you, let me share it with others because, you know, maybe somebody will get something from this story.
Give me a timeline, though, because I don't even know when. Start it from when it happened.
I woke up, I think, like it was normal every day, November 26th, 2018. I woke up like any other day, Frank. And I hit the head to start with. I made my way into the kitchen where I keep my medicine, you know, my blood pressure pill and my cholesterol, you know, the normal everyday morning medicine.
Are your everyday morning medicines a lot? I mean, are they huge?
They are now. They are now.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't then, huh? Okay.
No, I took the regular things that people take. Okay. Blood pressure pill, cholesterol pill.
Right.
I took a baby aspirin every morning. I took my, you know, multivitamin. Okay. So, and I also used eye drops. So I went in. I do not remember any of this, by the way. This is all coming from notes from the hospitals.
Uh-huh.
What happened that morning? Okay. It took me 6 months to get the notes. And there was something in the notes that actually made me remember that morning suddenly.
All
months
right.
later.
Sure.
Okay. I ordered the notes and I ended up at Temple Hospital, but I got the notes from the initial hospital, Holy Redeemer. And in those notes it said, patient complains of not being able to get his contacts in. Well, I don't wear contacts, but that reminded me that I couldn't get my eye drops in that morning. I was holding them up. They were hitting me on the forehead and on my cheek, Frank.
Mm.
That's the last thing I remember. I couldn't get my contacts in. So apparently, since I was by myself, apparently I called 911. I don't know why. I must have felt, you know, either dizzy or you know how they say, you know, maybe one of the signs, maybe you're slurring or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the 911 operator said you're slurring. I don't know. I called 911 apparently. So they sent an ambulance. They took me to Holy Redeemer. I was still conscious. That took, I don't know, a half an hour, let's say. I'm just guessing because mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know how your phone actually follows you around nowadays
mm-hmm.
with the GPS in it?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
On Google, you know how you can go back and see where you've been?
Yeah, I don't have that, but I know you can. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've gone back to that date and saw that they, because my phone was on me. I guess the ambulance guys took it with me. And I could see that I was at the Holy Redeemer. They flew me from there to Temple. Before they flew me, according to the notes here, it said they intubated me because I was losing consciousness. So they put a hole in my throat.
Yeah.
And then stuck a respirator down my throat. When I arrived at Temple, I didn't wake up again for 6 weeks.
Now that's the part that really scared me. When someone said you were in you came out of a coma, I went, "What are you, Hacky? I didn't even know you were in." That's okay.
Who knew? I didn't know I was in one either. But I'm going to tell you what happened the day I woke up.
Well, first let me tell you that I share your visit to unconsciousness. Because, one of the big things that happened to me I went septic at one point when I was having trouble with my gallbladder. And that's back in, I guess that's 2009. I've been having problems, right? And,
had you had problems before that? Yeah, or was that day it happened?
No, I was having problems. I had already had an endoscopy and they cleared up stuff, but it was getting worse. And one day it decided to get as worse. Now, I'm understanding what you're saying because luckily I wasn't alone, although everyone was asleep at the time, but they found me on the floor. And
oh, my God.
Right.
That would have been lights out.
Oh, yeah, because the paramedics, when they came, everybody who was there said that they asked me questions and I didn't give them my real name. I told them I was born on some weird date and I was.
Well, you were just lost in craziness.
But I don't remember. But I'm like you. I don't remember any of that.
Any of it.
Okay.
Right. Which is good news to people listening. If something traumatic ever happens, probably you won't know it happened.
Yeah,
that's good to know that.
It does. Something shuts down, or something is working on the stuff. Anyway, they told me I had if I'd have laid there alone, I had maybe 2 hours, and I was gone. That septic is about as bad as you can get. So I understand what you're saying because I don't remember anything except waking up in the intensive thing, all that stuff, and having a heck of a night.
How long were you out? Do you know?
But I didn't go into a coma. I was in a coma. I'm just saying that when people told me what happened, I went like, what? And what is it?
So you woke up that night or the next day, whatever.
Yeah, I woke up that night in the intensive care because so I had come up again. But, it doesn't matter because when you're gone and you don't know you're gone, it's an eternity no matter what,
It could be, right. It's one minute's an eternity when you're totally, when you're on, fade to black.
And it's
fade to black. That's all there is.
And it's really weird. When you wake up, it's really weird, isn't it? Because when you have a sense of who you are, you got your consciousness back. It's like, what? Right? I mean, you can't put this together because usually we live our lives. We know where we've been 2 minutes ago, 2 days ago.
Exactly.
Right? So go ahead.
Or at least we try to remember the Andy's last name.
Right.
Kaufman.
Kaufman. Thank you.
Oh, my
thank
God.
You, Randy Kaufman.
That's the way to do it. Forget about it for a while.
That's teamwork, isn't it? That's teamwork. Exactly. Two minds.
Kaufman. Okay. 20 minutes later, Kaufman.
So well, you anyway, wake up, you don't wake up for what, 6 weeks?
6 weeks. And I'll tell you about the day I woke up. But let me tell you a little bit. Let me tell you about that day. First of all, it was a morning. I didn't know I was asleep. So I opened my eyes. I look down, my legs and arms are strapped to the bed. I don't know where I am. Both arms are covered with IVs and infusions and feet. No, I have a feeding tube in my belly. I can't see these things, but I'm just giving you the picture.
Right.
I have a feeding tube in my belly. I have a hole in my
throat.
Right. And then down my throat, I have,
a tube,
oxygen, intubation. So
right.
Down my throat. Now there's tubes going into my nose. Both arms are covered with infusions, whatever. Both, when I say covered, I mean 5 or 6 in each arm.
Sure.
Okay. So there's a lady in my room next to my bed. I don't even know this is, none of this has any feeling. I'm not in pain with all this crap going on.
Right.
I'm just opened my eyes and I didn't know they were closed. I just happened to open my eyes and this lady standing there, her name is Ann, black lady in her 50s or 60s. She's one of my nurses as it turned out later I found out. She screamed. I looked at her. I couldn't talk. You know, I couldn't talk anymore.
Because she saw your eyes open, or?
She saw my eyes open and screamed. I didn't know what that was about. What scared me was her, that she looked at me and screamed. That scared me. But I didn't do anything. I sort of like rattled myself in bed, like moved. And she was screaming at me, don't move, don't move. And a bunch of people came in, doctors and, you know, crash carts and nurses and all. I didn't know where I was. And, you know what? They put me back in under. Right there, because, you know, I had too much, they couldn't explain anything to me, and they didn't want me flailing around.
Well, let me ask you a question now. Did, since they, lots of times when they're taking care of somebody, they put them in a self-induced coma. Was that the coma you were in? Did they put
no.
you? No.
They
but
put
now
me back.
Okay.
They put me back under.
Okay.
When I woke up abruptly, they didn't expect me to wake up, Frank.
Okay.
They were just monitoring me. I did have brain activity, so it wasn't totally lights out as far as the prognosis, but they did not expect me to wake up anytime soon, if ever. And there were people, here's something I want people to know out there, and I want to share this with you too.
Good, I'll listen. I'm here.
No, you're a captive. They can turn us off.
Go ahead.
You're here with me.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll listen. I'm anyway, here. Yeah.
Listen to this. So, it was absolutely crazy. During the coma, when I woke up, I realized I had been hearing people all the way through and dreaming all the way through. I didn't make this realization until I woke up. Because, you know, when you're in this state, you don't know where you are. But right. You can't feel and you can't touch and you can't taste and you're not eating or anything. But you can hear people. And I often heard people say, Dusty, please, please come back. Mm. Join us. We love you, man. Come back.
I heard that a lot. And I remember when my mother was in a coma. And I remember they said, sit down, talk to her. There's this stuff. It'll get there.
The last thing to go.
Yeah.
The last thing to go. In fact, I just before I started to write about this, the book is called, it's in progress right now. The working title is, This is the Second Best Day of Your Life. And I'll get to that later.
Okay.
But my surgeon, his name is Dr. Al Mefti. He operated on me 7 times. I'll tell you what happened.
What did he do? I mean, not that I know about surgical procedures.
No, brain surgery. But I'll tell you, whatever he did, I probably needed it decades before he met me.
This sounds so weird because I'm looking at you and you don't look any, I mean, you had seven I, times you had brain surgery. And
I should have been a vegetable, Frank.
This show. And
you know, I've always been, honestly, I hate to say this because I don't want to make your show, which is generally a comedy, a lot of comedy. Not, you know, I don't know about other episodes when I'm not on, but generally you and I are lighthearted together. But I want to say something serious. I've always been a spiritual guy, not a religious man, but I've been a very spiritual guy. But, you know, this brought me a lot closer to my spirituality.
I would
this
imagine.
Experience. It really did. It really brought me a lot closer.
It makes my episode look, it pales. My episode pales for you.
Thank God.
Pales.
Please never, everybody, anybody in earsight, please never have an incident like this.
Well, you don't know. It's not like they could. Right? You couldn't have prevented it.
No, I couldn't. Okay. It's not like you could have quit smoking and this wouldn't have happened to you.
So when you're up again and, you're telling me that you have recollection of little scattered images and voices that you've heard, you now know you've heard it and you thought you were dreaming or what?
I actually verified this. My neurologist is head of neurology at Temple. His name is Dr. Paul Katz. And I didn't know that when he came to visit me every morning, he would come with a group of young people in tow, you know, residents and students. So, you know, he would say things like this every morning. And I look forward to the doctors coming every morning after I woke up. Because,
after you woke up. Yeah. Sorry.
You know, it's sort of lonely in there. I see you 24/7 for weeks on end. Yeah. After I woke up, I was there for weeks. Right. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine what it's like to be in a hospital bed for weeks, can't even walk anymore, can't get out of bed, can't talk. no longer able to talk, okay, no longer able to walk because you're no longer able to stand up anymore. Mm. Okay, so anyway, I'm not looking for sympathy. I just want to paint a picture of the magnitude.
I want you to paint
the
picture. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so this Dr. Katz comes in every morning and he goes like this to the students. He goes, this is a certified, bona fide miracle. And he would say it day in and day out. And he'd look at me and say it to me too. He'd go, do you realize that? He said, often, I mean, every day he would say this because different students would be with him. You know, he's headed to the department at a huge hospital. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same group every day. And he'd go like this, bona fide, certified miracle. And he goes, and if you don't believe in God, take a look right here. This is a miracle. And then he'd put an M together like this. And he'd look at me and he'd say, I hope you appreciate your second chance. We're going to get you out of here one day. And, you know, he did one day. He got me out of there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy. And believe me, it was – I really appreciate the fact that I've had this opportunity to – you know, I don't know – I'm going to make a confession. I know I'm talking a little erratically because I got so many ideas going through my head right now. I don't talk, I try not to talk about this too often, but, I often wonder now, why did I wake up? I often wonder why, you know, what is, you know, people say there's a reason. This is a second chance. You know, these are, idioms, cliches.
Sure.
You know? But I don't know, honestly, I can tell you, and this bothers me some days.
Does it?
I don't know why I came back, why I woke up. Other people don't, and well, I'm thankful.
Well, you'd be thankful. The thing is, you know, we don't have to have a reason for everything.
And anyway, the two doctors, the Al Mefti, he was the surgeon, mm-hmm. and his boss is Katz. They would come in all the time and visit with me. Unfortunately, Al Mefti was coming in with bad news all the time. Cause each time he did a surgery, he'd say, get ready. This is your last one. We can move you out of ICU after this one. Then he would come back a day or two after that surgery. He'd go, I'm really sorry. We're going to have to do it again on Friday. I'm going to make you first though. Now the importance of first is they wheel you downstairs. You don't want to be in a line sitting there in a hallway for five hours waiting to go in.
Yeah.
Is that making sense or
sure,
not?
Sure, sure. The hospitals are busy.
There's a line of people laying on gurneys
to
go in for surgery. He'd go like this each time. I know I've messed you up here. I'm going to get you in first. And, you know, a couple times I waved him off. No more. But anyway. Let me get back on a couple of other things.
Go ahead.
During that time, as I got more cognizance and I woke up, I realized I had vivid dreams. And, you know, they gave me a speaking instrument called a pacemaker so I could now talk. Mm. It was a little thing you connected to your throat and turned it.
Right.
And it allowed air to go through and you could speak with it. It's called a pacemaker, M-U-I-R, Muir, like Muir Woods. Mm-hmm. So I was telling people, I had vivid dreams, and people would say, you know, here I am skitzing out now again with all sorts of scattered thoughts. One more thing before I forget to say it. I was overwhelmed at how much people were telling me that I love you when I woke up. I remember saying, I don't deserve all this love. It was overwhelming, Frank. It's, you know, it's one of those things you don't hear very often and you don't feel it like I felt it.
Right.
You remember that in the hospital when you.
I do. The difference between you and
me. And all,
the difference,
you know,
difference between you and me is I would be sitting there going, I deserve this and more. Get more people. Bring more people in,
bring them in.
Everybody love them. Wheel them in. Get those gurney people in here, too. Give them one of those Muir things. Give them one of those Muir things. Have them all talk. I've got a chorus of them.
Pass a mirror for everybody. Give everybody a pass.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Go.
So, yeah, I mean, I was overwhelmed
sure.
at the love and the hugs and, you know, I said, I don't deserve this. And
okay,
I said,
at that point, though, when you're back and they give you the mirror and you're talking, at that point, they have told you, what did they say to you? You had a stroke. Your body is not working. What exactly? And we're doing going to keep operating. They didn't tell you exactly what they do. We're going to go into your brain.
They
act
like everything is rosy all the time. Everybody always is smiling and laughing.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
They're taught
okay.
That.
In other words, you had a problem. You're here with us, and we're getting you better. You're going to be out of here. Right. Nobody ever said how long I had been there, Frank.
Right.
Nobody ever said you, it was weeks, maybe, I don't know how long it was. You know, Ann, she used to be on my show a lot.
Sure.
Or don't you remember Ann?
I do, yes.
Okay. She used another name when she was on the show, Andrea. Do you vaguely remember the name, Andrea?
I remember Ann. Now I don't remember Andrea. I remember an Ann.
Ann, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, Ann. She would come all the time. My stepdaughter, Erin, would come all the time. And they were in church all the time. They're very prayerful people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were praying for me to, you know, to wake up again. And I couldn't feel their hands on me, holding my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hear them at the bedside all the time going like this. We love you. Please wake up. We're praying for you. Wake up. And one day I did, and
well, the doctors encourage, everybody encourages that. I mean, you know, you don't want to be in the hospital from hell where the doctor comes in and goes, well, I don't know about dinner, but, but I'm here now. I don't know. And I'll stay home if it's anything bad. You know, you don't want that. Of course they're all doing because your brain is so powerful and your brain is working so much to survive. The body works hard to survive. This is what I keep learning through things that the body wants to stay alive and keep going.
Does.
So they have to keep putting that stuff into your brain because your brain doesn't know. Your brain's just doing all these things, right? So it's going like, okay, so we got the okay. Let's keep going.
Now, yeah. You know what? I want to tell
going.
You, the reason I mentioned Dr. Katz, first, he deserves a mention, obviously. The reason I mentioned him, though, is because I verified with him when I said I could hear these people. He goes, of course you could. Hearing is the last of all senses to go, he said.
Mm.
In other words, if you've got brain activity, you can hear, even in a deep coma.
Right.
And
right.
So he verified that. He says, I hear this all the time. Ironically, I hear this all the time. He says, I hear this from patients all the time. He goes, and I know it's true, because we can see people if we connect microbes to them, react to our voices.
So you're
sorry. Says, if we want to look at it, you know, we can connect something to your brain and talk to you and see that, you know, your brain will show, you know, a light. If you say, hello, Dusty, your brain will react even though you can't.
You see, when I tell a serious stories, connected to these serious stories are things that make it sound like I'm either making it up or it's funny. And I'll tell you why. This happen. You mentioned your two doctors. I'm going to tell you the name of the doctor who saved my life that night.
Come on.
And this is the God's honest truth. People know they're going to go, he's going to do it again. This is the God's honest truth. His name is, he's still around, Dr. Dye.
You can't make something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. But when I do it, they go like, there he goes. It's true.
You think he would change his name.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Dye.
He doesn't, you know.
It's hilarious. You know what? It reminds me of my sister. She used to come home in junior high, and I was a little kid, didn't even know what she meant.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 6 years old. She'd say, you know, my principal at Emerson Junior High, you know, in Santa Monica Boulevard, my principal, Harry Dick, that was his name. No, that is bad. No, that is bad. But his wife, believe it or not, Harry married a woman named Ima.
Oh, God. Right?
You can't make things like this up.
No. They didn't even have the sense to call him Harold. Right?
Harry Dick married Ima. Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, let me get back to something about the vivid dreams.
Go ahead.
You're going to like this. Okay. Now, this is the central theme of the book, by the way.
Okay.
I went up, it wasn't at first, I mean, I don't know what first is or last, but it wasn't the first dream that I had, that I recall. But near the end, I had it reoccurrently. It was a dream that I was up on the ninth floor of Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no ninth floor in that part of the building.
Okay.
And I was on the ninth floor going into room 919.
A lot of nines.
There was an old man there, I want to tell you. He welcomed me in. He had an old, long hair. It was snow white and a long snow white beard. He was holding a little baby in his right hand. The floors were very similar to Boston Gardens. Beautiful parquet, and I mean gorgeous. It was buffed to the point you could almost see your own reflection. There was a chair in the room next to his chair, and it was a huge feather, like a feather from a bird that doesn't even exist, Frank. It's, let's say, 12-foot feather. Okay. And he said to me, and I had this dream over and over again. He said, sit down, my son. Please, sit down. Be comfortable. And there was, it was a gorgeous room. It was beautiful. Like I said, the parquet floors, the little baby. He held that baby tight to his body. So tight, the old man held him. And he said to me, things are going to be okay, son. Things will be okay. And I'd say, you know, in the dream, where am I? And he said, you know where you are. And I want you to know this is the second best day of your life. That was the first time I met him. And then I said, what was the best day of my life? And he said, the day you were born.
Mm.
So this blew me away. I don't know if it was a dream or if I had an experience, a near-death experience, or if this was just, you know, some sort of like foggy, you know, just nonsense,
mm-hmm.
you know, caused by, you know, what you would want heaven to be. I don't know, but I just know I went back over and over again. And the final day I went back into that chair, the door was no longer. I wanted to go back. That chair was so beautiful. It was so comfortable.
Noah, the chair that you sat in with him?
Yes.
Okay.
It was so beautiful. Sure. I kept going back to that. And not meanwhile, I'm in this coma out here. But in here, I'm going into the little room 919 every day.
Mm-hmm.
And spending time with the old man who it just felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here I am in as bad off as you can be medically. But it's wonderful. This is the most wonderful experience of my life. This room I'm telling you about. Room 919, that chair. Believe me, I can't describe how pleasurable it was melting my body into that chair.
Mm-hmm.
It was just never wanted to get out, never wanted to get up. Well, I went back one last time, and the room wasn't there. I touched the wall where the room was supposed to be in my dream. There was a nurse in the hallway with me, with a white hat and all, like a nurse, you know. Of course, all this is a dream now.
Yeah.
And I said to her, where's room 919? And she went like this. There is no room. 919. And I said, I need to get back there. She goes, you're on the wrong floor. That's when I opened my eyes and the nurse screamed.
Mm.
This nurse on the ninth, non-existent ninth floor said, you're on the wrong floor.
Okay, I guess it's, you were right side up, right? I mean, when you went into this room, are you like walking and you're fine? You went in your dream?
I'm walking. This is not the only dream I had.
You kept going that, but you went to that same place, right? You went to 919.
Yes, this was I have about a dozen vivid dreams. You were in one of my dreams, Frank. We were doing radio.
Bam.
Yes, you were in one of my dreams. Another one of my dreams was I thought I was at the MGM Grand Hotel.
Oh, and, you don't take me there.
How about that? I thought I was at the MGM Grand on the real top floors. And it's funny, when people came to visit me, I'd say, do you know where you are? You know, after you're still on medication. They got you on Dilaudid or some You know what I mean. Yeah. What's that stuff that killed Michael Jackson? Propofol? What is it?
Yeah, I don't know what the name of it, but it's the stuff that gets you under.
You're on that every day because you've got so many wires connected to you. They want you to be very docile. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in the coma anymore, but I'm very docile and very, you know, knocked out. People would come to visit me, and I'd go, look out that window right there. They go, do you know where you are? I'd say, look out that window. Of course I know where I'm at. This is the MGM Grand. Don't you see the strip? Mm-hmm. Well, that was North Philly. They were looking out the window at Broad Street in North Philly. I thought that it was the strip. You know,
sure.
Las Vegas. And I also had a flight to Australia and New Zealand. Right. And I met this female driver from Santa Barbara, California. She was driving at this little bull ring in New Zealand, and we were both there to bid on a horse or something. I don't know. You know, these are strange dreams I was having. I was at a U2 concert in Saskatchewan.
You must have been close to death at that point.
Yeah. In Saskatchewan.
Yeah. You too. You too in Saskatchewan. That's very, I think,
you were
wait a second.
Close to death.
I have a copy of Dante's Inferno here, and I think it's mentioned. In,
yeah. You know what? At that time, I thought outside the window was the freeway that runs across, you know, like Route 80 does, runs across America, mm-hmm. U.S. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the freeway that ran across Canada out my window. And I would often think to myself in this dream, people are dying on that freeway constantly. And the reason was I could hear. Remember, I could hear. Mm-hmm. And there was helicopters going up and down outside my window. And I thought they were bringing in people from this imaginary freeway that had died.
And you said, please, don't bring in Bono.
No, I was telling the people, even though I was asleep, I was telling the you know, people that would listen. I'm putting on a concert here in the parking lot.
Right.
And U2 has decided to appear. I'm going to get you tickets to this concert.
I thought
it was all true. Believe me, I thought all this crap was happening.
This many people wake up with regular dreams and, you know, you think it's... You've been in a dream...
Thanks, by the way. You know, I honestly never have been a dreamer.
Well, you don't remember them. Maybe your brain was getting back at you because it's been proven that people have that kind of activity. We don't remember all of our dreams.
I don't remember my dreams, but I do remember these, and they were, you know, there's a guy online. I don't know if you know him. He's a guitarist from a legendary rock band. Now I'm in your arena. The band was called Love.
Yeah, I remember.
Legendary Los Angeles rock band.
No, they were real. They weren't legendary. They were real.
They were real.
That was a real
group.
That's a real group.
They were on the label with the Doors. Sure. Anyway, the guitarist is a buddy of mine. His name is Johnny Eccles. Mm-hmm. And I dreamed that Johnny Eccles, this is, you know, during my coma, I'm dreaming Johnny Eccles has set it up where the Beatles want me to rewrite. I don't write music. They want me to rewrite their second song on their first album. And they
second
have
song
me
on
a,
the first album. Hold on, I got you.
I don't have a clue what that song
well,
is.
Well, there might be a key to this. Wait a sec. You mean Meet the Beatles or the
their first album, the second cut.
Okay.
So they have hired me through Johnny to rewrite that song, Frank.
Yeah.
I mean, it amuses me to even admit this because it sounds like, are you all there? I wasn't all there, obviously, but anyway, so in my dreams now, I'm flying over to Liverpool to talk to Paul's son, who lives in a condo near this bridge. I can vividly see all this in these dreams, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm flying over, and there's something I'm going to have to write it all, and I think it's going to be a pretty compelling read.
Yeah, don't give the whole book away, you know? I mean, we want to... It's
going to be a compelling read. Some of the other dreams that... I thought might be of interest to people. I've jotted them down here. I thought my former brother-in-law was walking the hallways late at night, and I actually reported this when I woke up. I thought he was walking the hallways and going through my trash in my room. And I said, you know what? The guy there, Ed, there's no volunteer named Ed here at night. I said, I'm telling you, he's been here night after night. in my room. This is after I've woken up, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then a doctor comes in the next day and he goes like this. Do you have a brother-in-law named Ed? I'm Dr., you know, whatever. I don't know who he was. Mm-hmm. I don't know his name, I mean. He goes, I'm here to make sure you're okay. Has somebody been going through your trash at night? I said, no, absolutely not. Who told you that? Because I realized I was talking crap. I realized I was talking nonsense, and they reported me.
Oh, wow. Now let's see if this makes if this makes any sense inside of the puzzle. If we want to try to even interpret any of this in terms of how your brain, what your brain was trying to tell you, the second cut on Meet the Beatles is I saw her standing there. They wanted you to rewrite the lyrics or the song.
The whole song. They wanted me to edit it and rewrite it, and someone should have.
That song, I think someone should have. And I think okay. You're feeling the same way.
I saw her standing there
is the second cut on the Meet the Beatles. So there.
Okay. How about that? I saw her standing there. I'm going to have to jot that down.
Yeah, right, because for your book there.
Let me do it right now. Yeah. I saw her standing there. But I wanted to say that all of these things were very vivid, and mm-hmm. they amused me. I enjoyed it. I never had a more enjoyable part of my life than inside this deep slumber for those weeks.
Well, first of all, they were really, really strong, good drugs, medicines or whatever.
They were good dreams. Yeah, for the most part, they were not bad dreams.
I imagine that helped. And your brain, which has always been active. I mean, it's not like, you know, you were always doing things. You were doing things creatively, right? You were doing, you've lived a life.
Yeah. My whole life, yeah.
So
a lot of these are based on, you know, I know people in music and I know, I know people in racing. So I'm in Australia, New Zealand, you know what I'm saying? But I've never been to New Zealand, but I'm saying I'm in there in the dream. I'm in New Zealand, this little bull ring, you know, with this. Is there somebody named Babe Didrikson?
Where? Babe Didrikson?
Who is she?
I didn't know it was a she. Babe Didrikson? Oh. I don't know.
I thought it was in the dream. Oh. Babe Didrikson was a harness driver from Santa Barbara in the
1930s. The 30s? Oh, I don't know that far back.
But her name was Babe Didrikson.
Her name? I don't know. Babe, I thought it was...
You know what?
What?
When I do finally die, I want to go out this way, dreaming and getting on the big feather and having these beautiful dreams. I want to tell you, I want people... Here's my...
Shaboom.
What I really want to send this message out.
Go ahead.
And then you can tell me, let's change the subject or go on.
Go ahead.
Let me send this message out. Death is not something to worry about. When your time comes... You're just going to go into a beautiful, warm place. It may be fade to black. I'm not going to say there's a heaven. I went into a consciousness where there was a heaven type of place with the old man. But I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
I do know this. There was no pain associated with any. They were injecting me, cutting my throat open, cutting my stomach open. I had no pain. Even afterward, when I woke up, there was no pain. The only pains would be like a bad phlebotomist trying to stick me in my arm.
Mm.
You hear me or not?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that there was a catheter inside my penis
mm-hmm.
until she went to rip it out.
Isn't it amazing how they take it out? How they just they just jerk it completely.
As quick as she could, you put her,
it's the strangest feeling. It's like not pain, not pleasure. It's like this weird feeling. Yeah.
She put her hand on my belly and pushed down. And I said, what are you doing? No, I didn't. I don't think I said anything. Mm. But I mean, I was thinking, what are you doing?
And the next thing
I know, I felt a yank.
Yeah, it's weird. It is the strangest.
So what I want to tell people is, you know, we all worry about wellness and health and sickness, but there's nothing to worry about. There really isn't. I mean, that's a beauty. You don't remember the day you were born, and you're not going to remember the day you died. You know?
Well, I agree with that. Huh? I agree with that. Sure.
Right.
I agree with that. I tell you one thing I don't want. I didn't think I would say anything sage tonight. No, I know where you're coming from. I just know that if it starts to get dark and I realize somehow my brain says we're turning off now. If I hear, I saw her standing there, I'm going to be so pissed.
You'll be so pissed. You'll be freaked out.
Couldn't I even choose my own song? Oh my God.
Right. Anyway. Can't you choose your own? Right.
So now when you woke up, you were there for another, what, 6 weeks? Months?
Well, it went on from there. Let me tell you what happened.
And there's just rehabilitation involved now, right? Because talking and everything, right?
No, I was there a month in the ICU. I was there 6 weeks in the ICU.
Okay.
My bill came in finally a month later. It was over $6 million.
Mm.
My total, hospital bill. Yeah. Of course, I wrote him a check real quick and forgot all about that.
Right.
Didn't even show up on the bottom line. It's good. No, it's good I have Medicare. That's another thing I want to tell people. When you hear we don't have good insurance, Medicare.
I don't hear any people complaining about Medicare. The only person who complains about Medicare is Joe Namath because he keeps finding new ways to use it on television. I know.
Sure. We have good insurance in this country. I mean, I'm telling you firsthand.
That's your money. You gave it all those years. You gave them your money. Exactly. You're getting your money back when you needed it most.
Absolutely right. It was over $6 million, the bill. But what I wanted to say is...
Did you leave a tip?
I put $100,000 out there. For the waitress, right.
Go ahead.
That Miss Ann, the one who screamed?
Mm-hmm.
She I was on what they call it, I forget what kind of water. It's not heavy water, but it's called...
light water? I don't know.
A certain type of water that has been enhanced with, it's called thickened water. It's god awful. That's what you gotta drink all the time. Thickened drinks. No liquid.
Now why everybody came in and everybody was, positive and we understand all that. Was she like not a veteran? I mean, she screamed? Why did she scream? Why did that shock her?
She said, because I asked her that weeks later.
Yeah.
I became very tight with her. I want to say you become very tight with your nurses. They're wonderful, wonderful.
I want that to be in the book. I want you to your relationship with these people has got to be in the book. It's very
wonderful
important.
Wonderful people.
Okay.
I mean.
What did she say when you said you screamed?
Later on, she said, I said, why did you scream at me that day? You become like a little baby and you're talking, by the way. If I sound a little bit immature nowadays, I know I always did, but, if it sounds a little worse, but anyway, I remember how immature I sounded when I woke up. I sounded like I was 3 years old. Little sentences like, why did you say it? Why did you scream? And I mean it. That's how I was talking at first. And, she said, because I would hope you would wake up, but I never, believed I was looking at you and you were looking back at me.
Wow. That's what I would have said. You woke me up with that goddamn screaming. That's thank you very much.
Exactly.
Man. You can have a lot of fun with this book.
You can, because it's not a sad story.
Exactly.
These lucid dreams, it's a happy story.
Sure. If it was a sad story, you couldn't tell it.
Exactly. Somebody might be saying it, but I wouldn't be the one telling it. So it's a great story.
I don't want you to ruin all the stuff.
Couple more dreams.
Okay, couple more dreams
I was locked in a vending machine in the 1920s in downtown Los Angeles. And when I say I was locked in, those little vending machines, you put a quarter in, the crane goes down to pick out a toy?
Yeah. They had those in the 20s. You don't know.
I guess so.
You don't know,
because
right.
I was in
matter.
One.
The dream. What am I talking?
There was a little girl in there with me inside the machine. We were both locked in there, stuck inside the machine. That was one of the dreams. It lasted for a couple of days.
Before we go on, can you get any of these drugs over the counter?
I wish we could. I'll tell you what. I'm sure they would take them off the market real quick.
Whoa, go ahead. What a concoction. More dreams.
I'm sure. It's funny you mentioned that. I'm just guessing now. We would need a doctor to be with us to answer the question.
Oh, sure, sure.
But I'm going to just say this. I wonder how much the drugs they were pumping into me had to do with these vivid dreams.
They're doing LSD tests at Johns Hopkins now. Yes, at Johns Hopkins.
Again?
Yes, people are volunteering and they're doing all sorts of stuff because originally, originally this stuff was used, you know, in psychiatry. Dr. Reese could tell us all that. Yeah. Yeah, this is at Johns Hopkins.
There were two of them at the time. I think it was Harvard and UCLA originally.
Yeah.
So Sandoz acid, yeah.
They're doing that now and they're finding remarkable things about, how people are coming, to terms and peace with the, you know, they're doing them on people who are supposedly dying and all sorts of stuff. But anyway, so yes, they were incredibly strong in whatever that concoction. Remember, you had a concoction. You didn't have one drug in there.
No, I had a concoction of drugs.
You had a concoction. Oh. For all you know, you were going upside down into room 919. It was really 616. Which
exactly.
They do.
No, right. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Who knows?
Right.
Because it's all this fog, but it was a beautiful, blissful experience. Yeah. And I want to say this on a serious note. I'm so grateful to you to have me on tonight and to all the people that gave me so much love through my recovery because after you asked how long was I in there, I went from there to a room downstairs to another floor for about a week. They transferred me by ambulance from there to one of those rehabilitation homes, you know, where you learn to walk again. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible one. Everything you've read about those, you know, those homes where they put people's grandmothers,
sure,
they're really bad. I mean, they're awful to you in those places. I would say, excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. I couldn't walk anymore, Frank. You know, they would just wave and keep walking up the hallway.
Yeah.
I don't want to monopolize. I know we are limited time here, but sometime when you and I are talking, I want to tell you more about this. But
well, you know, as you do the book, it could come on and you read a passage here and there, you know?
I want to finish the book this year, and I've taken a lot of notes to keep it fresh. I've started to write it, but I have a problem when I'm not on deadline. How do you produce all that written material, Frank?
I wish I could tell you there was a
focus without losing the focus.
I wish I could tell you there was a formula, Dusty. I think it's just a matter of every writing job I've ever had. I just trusted a lot of what I did without spending a lot of time rewriting. And since it worked out, I think I trust myself. Plus, I love to write time. I don't feel time when I'm writing. I don't feel time when I'm writing and I'm really into it. I'm just there and a lot comes out, you know, look back. So I don't really know how to answer that, but I am.
You don't use any software like that,
naturally,
Word?
No, I am naturally.
Where you talk and it types for you?
No, not at all. When I'm not writing, if I think of things, I have composition books and I write notes and stuff, but I don't know how to tell you that. I just happen to be naturally prolific. So I don't know what to say.
That's great. You know? No, it is. I mean, I'm very prolific, but I need a deadline. Otherwise I get off track.
Well, it does make sense. And I've had deadlines and I still have deadlines, but you know, you got to trust. Deadlines help you to trust what you write. So, but when you're writing something that's really bigger, man, you know, when you're writing, you know, it takes time. But everybody does it different. Here's what I learned about listening to people giving advice to writers. And that is that they all do it their way. So any way you do it and get it done, that's fine. You don't have to listen to these people.
Right.
You learn the technical pieces, you learn what it is, and then you do it. So I really don't know how to transfer to anyone else.
I do have the notes and I want to get it done this year because, you know, they say if you don't write something like this in short order, you forget a lot of the nuances and details.
Okay. Yeah.
People have told me that, you know, that's why I took copious notes after I was told that. I took the copious notes to, you know, vaguely outline the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You should always, writers should always be taking notes and putting down things they don't know that they're going to use and it comes out.
One sentence can spur your memory later to write a whole chapter.
Sure.
You know, and one sentence like, you know.
Like a sentence. I know.
Just a sentence.
I know, absolutely. But are you finding it, forget about all those things because those are all natural whether you're well or not, but after what you've been through, are you finding it a little bit different in terms life of focus and stuff.
Yes, focus. My language is I have a deficit now with my speech, and I use a cane, but not all the time. A lot of the time, but I can walk. I can talk.
But when you're writing, do you stop?
In the middle of a sentence, I stop. And what was his name? Oh, yeah. Cotolo, right? Stuff. Frank.
Yeah.
Frank. What was Frank's last name?
Kaufman.
What? You know, I mean, yeah, I can't stand that.
Yeah,
I can't stand when that happens.
Yeah. Well, but you'll learn to deal with it. We all work with handicaps of all sorts, even if we don't.
And you're saying that's everybody nowadays.
Oh, yeah. And some people.
And I hear that too from people all the time.
The things I hear, I just, you learn so much and then everybody's going to tell you things and then you realize they don't do it the way they do. You know, I don't think you should listen to anyone. To be honest with you. When you know what it is, when you find your voice, I always tell people, I want to be a writer, and it's like, when you find your voice, you'll just know. And it's even hard to describe what is your voice, but how you write, okay? When you find that, it seems to be okay in writer, and then you write more. Writers are insecure anyway. You know, they double.
Yeah.
There's so many things.
I have a good editor. Yeah. Rosemary Perullo, executive editor of the Star Ledger. She retired a few months ago, but, she and I worked together at the Courier Post for about 15 years, and she went up and became the executive editor up at the Star Ledger.
Yeah.
And, she's written, a couple of books, but she's written some plays, and, she's always been there to edit my work. And she has, but the problem in my case is not writing. I write every day, but I piss around and write online and crap like that, for the amusement of my friends.
Yeah,
you're on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, you're on Facebook a lot. So that's good because that keeps you in touch somehow or other.
Keeps me alert a little bit.
And you get to write, which is good. I think anyway you write is
but
okay.
It's unfocused writing. The other is more important, to get focused and write a project. And finish the project.
Yeah, you want to finish the project, but
instead of just writing a bunch of crap.
Hemingway said, if you can start a project, you're there.
You can finish a project.
Yeah, that's
maybe.
It. Yeah, you're there. It's all about follow through, and you can do it. You could always go back, you know, and what have you. But I think it's great that you're taking notes. You already got a
title. I believe in this book, by the way. I was writing my memoirs before this happened, and I was dragging my feet on that deal, too. And the reason I never believed that anybody would want to read all the different stories about my life, Elizabeth Taylor and different, my life is similar to your life. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
In other words, you've done a lot of things people couldn't believe you've done those things. And I have, too, and I don't talk about them a lot because they may seem unbelievable.
Well, that's why I've made, I have two books.
I don't embellish.
I have two books. I call them I have two books called Molotov Memoirs. Molotov Memoirs. Yeah. And they're short stories, but, it's marketed as, this is what I think happened. So I take things and I make them entertaining, because I'm like you.
Embellish a little bit, add some,
a little bit. I think a lot. I think,
you've lived, I have too.
Yeah.
We both lived exciting. We've traveled a lot. We've been with, worked with some very exciting, interesting people. And I don't look at my life that way, but I know others do. Cause they've said it to me, you're interesting, and I think, no, I'm just me. It's my life. Even knowing you is, an interesting chapter in my life. What I'm saying is I don't embellish on it too much because if you tell people things, they're going to think that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, they're always, but people
don't have those experiences.
People are interested. It's just, I guess it's the level of, cause I feel the same way as you. I would never write my straight memoirs.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. But this sounds good. And a lot of people are into this. There was a brain surgeon who recently came out with a book. I saw him on a couple of talk shows or what have you. And he was, he believes now in an afterlife because he had some kind of problem with his brain and went to this place and was convinced that he went somewhere. and learned about life, you know, afterlife, what have you. Now, whether, you know, if he believes that, that's fine. Whatever it did to settle him, you know, it did. And what people like to read that stuff because it, anyone could be there. Anyone could be there. Anyone can go to room 919, chapter 3.
It's funny you mention this because, that he's a brain surgeon and, because when I told these stories that I'm telling to you, just to verify the possibility of them to doctors, to surgeons right there in the hospital, neurologists, top guys, nobody laughed, nobody shook their head and said, no.
You can imagine the things they've heard.
Yeah, they were going, no, it's, not an illusion.
Yeah.
This is how the mind works.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, you know, they weren't, patronizing me. They were going,
well, consciously, what do we use? Maybe 3-5% of our brain consciously. We don't even use a lot of our brain. You know?
Exactly.
So down there.
We're so wide. We are so wide. I'm not talking about bellies. I'm saying we are so wide.
Yeah.
You know, we're part of this mass connection that we never even experienced because 100 years is only 36,500 days. So we don't have the time.
Did you just do that math? Did you just do that math? Because your brain's working fine if you could do that. You've turned into a savant, I think.
36,500, is that what I said? 36,500?
Oh, okay. Now you don't remember what you said. I
36,500 days. And here's the thing, that's 100 years. So what do you learn in that period of time? The first 10 years, you're not going to learn dick. You're learning everything, but you know nothing. So the last 10 years, you know nothing and you want to learn everything. But, I guess what it amounts to is that, I have no idea what it amounts to.
I don't know, yeah. I know I'm going to have some crazy dreams tonight. I know that's going to happen.
I hope so. I hope they're good ones. I mean, this was fun, Frank. We got to do it. We got to do it again.
We will. You know, you're around. We'll, you know, you can come on once a month. Maybe. We'll talk about anything.
I'm glad we're doing something other than horse racing. You know why I say that?
No, why?
Because what we're talking about today, all of your listeners, to some extent, can relate to something here.
Yes, of course. We've talked about lots of things. Lots of
talking horses.
Yeah, but we've talked a lot of pop culture stuff that, you know, people are interested in, pop culture, you know. But anyway, but you'll be back. Let's do this, like maybe, you know, once a month, once a year, and then, you know, get on and...
Love it. I mean, I always feel like when we're talking... it's like we were on together yesterday.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, it's, I don't know what it is. It just feels like it's very relaxed and normal.
I appreciate that. I do too. There's lots of people.
You make me feel that way. So it's great. It's great to have you. It's great to have you in my life and it's great to be on your show. And I do tune in sometimes. I should tune in more often because you have some very interesting people. I noticed it when I went on the site today. You know, you have some interesting guests on there, a lot of different writers and,
you get some fascinating people. Did you mention before we go, did you mention the dream, when I was in the dream, what did I do in your dream? You said I was in one of your dreams. What did I do?
Yes, we were on the air together. It was my show in Philadelphia and you were calling, was it Ray? Who was it that would always be out in the backyard with
Jack.
The dog?
Jack was Jack. There. Yeah.
And you always were saying, Jack, come back in here.
Yeah.
I think he was a toddler.
Well, he was a little bigger than a toddler, but he was young. Yeah, was he? Young. What year was that?
95-ish.
We were in 95. Maybe what a year?
We were on together for quite a bit of time, what year was,
No, he wasn't two. It was later than that, because he wasn't two. He was born in 93.
So he was 2 or 3. He was a little boy back then.
Well, he might have been more than 2 or 3. I think it was a little late.
Maybe he was 4. Maybe he was 4 or 5.
Yeah. But that's okay. Let's split the difference. But the point is, I was yelling at him.
That show, I think, ran for 6 years. So
the point is, I was being...
2000. Yeah, go ahead.
I was being a pain in the ass dad is what I was doing, right? Is that what I was doing? Jeez, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because... I remember often we'd be on the air and I was saying to myself, what the fuck is he talking to the kid for while we're on the air, on the live? Do you remember the day we were doing the show and the whole studio, somebody ran into the board and it came crashing down. We went to dead air for like 10 minutes. Do you remember that?
I remember that breakdown. Yeah. Yeah.
The whole board fell on the, fell over.
Live radio, huh? Live radio. Live radio. It's just
another time I was out of town and, somebody was filling in for me. You were the co-host, but you were in Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And somebody locally was filling in for me at the time.
Who was that? Who? Remember who?
Was it Marv? I don't know. But,
it couldn't have been Marv.
No, it could have been. Marv did a lot of radio, but I mean.
I don't think that. I don't know.
You know what? It was only about, I'll get to that in a minute. Don't throw me off. But,
you're still on.
Do you remember one time I was doing the show, my part of it, remote from an ocean liner?
No, now there's too many I don't remember.
The captain gave me permission to use the ship to shore radio. You don't remember that?
No, I don't. I don't.
Cause I was plugging, the name of the ocean liner, wasn't Carnival. I don't know the name of the company offhand anymore, but I remember giving them plugs for letting me use.
Do you see that? You know, good.
It's like $5 a minute when you're out there in the ocean. And he let me talk, you know what I mean? You were on the air from, Harrisburg, and Marv or Steve or whoever it was on the air from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined you guys by phone. It was my show. Do you remember that or not?
I don't remember that. I don't remember shows I've done here last year.
Do you remember shows, though, you know, where you were babysitting Jack during the shows?
Sure. I know. I remember doing the show on the phone. Yes, sure. I do remember that.
And I was
not every
I
one of them.
That.
That's all. Like,
great
you know.
Fun. Great fun. And,
do you know there's a cruise company? Have you seen that TV commercial? There's some cruise company where they're using Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit as the.
I saw that. Yeah, recently. Yeah.
Do you but understand they don't use, that?
No, but they don't use one of the key lines like one pill.
Yes, they do. It's one pill. Yeah, that's how they start. It's only cut.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. They do, and they're making it look like it's like an LSD trip. So their marketer, obviously boomers, they want boomers to go on cruises and feel like they're on LSD.
Yeah.
What kind of marketing is that?
I would go on a cruise right now with this coronavirus because you know what? People are getting damn sick on those cruises all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, that's where
really sick.
Remember,
really sick.
I caught Legionnaire, not Legionnaire's disease, but one of those crazy things that they had from somebody.
Were you on a cruise?
I got it from somebody who was on a cruise.
Oh, okay.
And I did, matter of fact, the night I did one of my shows here, okay, I did the entire show while throwing up. I was on the floor. I couldn't even sit up. I was on the floor.
I didn't know you were sick. I didn't know you were sick until,
I've gotten sick so many times. It's unbelievable.
Yesterday when we were talking to set up me coming on tonight, you said, I've had health issues I've shared with my listeners.
Sure. So I didn't even know
you were sick.
There's some of those shows are actually on, Juice Talk, but you tell all your friends who couldn't get in here tonight, whatever reason, that very soon, if not tomorrow or the day after, juicedtalk.com. That's juiced as in OJ. So, oh, juicedtalk.com.
Okay.
All, and you could go, you know, you could catch up on any kind of shows there. It's free. You could either stream them there or download or do whatever you want with it. But a lot of them are there from the past couple of years.
I noticed, have you archived all of them? I noticed you have links to the archive down the side of your left side of your, you know, of your webpage there.
Most of those, I think from 2000. You got to remember that, when this show began, you couldn't do that. You know, there was a bunch of times where you just couldn't record it on, and the computers went so slow.
So you've lost some of it over the years. Some of it you've kept.
Yeah, we lost
different eras, huh?
We lost it until, just because we weren't able to do it until cable came in. First of all, you couldn't broadcast. But once it came in though, there were all these other incidental things that now are secondary. The computers were slower. They were, you couldn't save.
Everything was different, right?
Yeah, you wanted to download a song. It took you,
dial up
40 minutes.
You started so early back like around 2000.
Yeah.
That, right before that was dial-up even.
Yes, absolutely. Once cable, the phone line cables came in, then broadcasting began, and that's why we were the first among, those bunch of people. But we were the first talk show. Everybody else was doing, you know, make them believe they were disc jockeys and stuff. But
you know what? This would be a great late night show in terrestrial radio because, you know, you're just an interesting guy to be with. And I never get tired. I don't mean that to patronize you, honestly. I just never get tired of sitting here talking. I could just sit here and rap with you for hours. You know?
I've brought this format, many formats, to local stations, okay?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Believe it or not, smaller stations, these people were all intimidated by my history. And,
really?
You know, yes. And so it did not work for me. It worked against me. And,
how about that?
And then as time goes on, you know what radio is now. What does anybody do? Is anybody even on live?
No, but now everything streams if you want to just stream your own. I mean, you know, you don't need to be on a terrestrial because they stream too.
And you and I remember when we were looking into satellite. I don't even know how that works.
Satellite. Yeah,
how does that work? I don't even don't know.
They need content too. They need people.
Still
all
don't
the
know
time.
How it works though, and they do it. But do people? You know, they must do it out of their homes. People can do that out of their homes, just like I'm doing.
Exactly. I guess you could do it anywhere. I mean, and then I guess you cultivate people that like you. You become a friend of theirs. You get emails from people around the country, around the world.
Frank, I
don't know me, but I actually listen to you regularly.
I don't know if everybody listens every week, but I do know that I do get emails. Sure.
From people that you've never met, but they're like friends of yours because they listen to you.
And I've been on so long that, like I said, there have been turnovers. We've had a number of audiences over the years. People who listen regularly don't, and they stopped. So I'm getting older, and there's still younger people.
When you change to another server, have you carted those people with you over the decades, over the years?
No, some of them have left. They've gone on to live their lives, you know, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's a thing they do for a while, and then there's other things they do, and then new people. They try to get new people. You know, different people have never heard it. And
but I mean, I guess that you reconnect with them, and I say, you know, I used to listen to you every week.
There are people who, yes.
I used to listen to you all the time back around 2003, 2004, or whatever. And then, you know, and they say, and what do they, email you, write you, call you?
I always tell everyone that I have a Yahoo, fcatolo@yahoo.com. Anyone could call. What I've been doing for a year now too is I tell people to go to catolochronicles.blogspot.com, which is the blog here, right? And I tell them to scroll through the pages and the years and find a show or some that has a topic or someone who a guest or
they
whatever.
Like and remember.
And
whatever.
We do these things called classic Catolo, which means I come on.
Oh, I like that.
If I have the show, okay, in the archives, then I'll come on, do regular talk, blah, 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 and then we'll go to them. We'll do the important part of that. You know, we'll lift it from there and then play it again. So here and there.
You'll put it into the show like right now.
Yeah.
You'll set it up and then you'll say, now let's listen to August 14th, 2011.
So I do take those requests and so I get emails and people saying, oh, you know, I sent you something about Bengal Tigers. Disappearing on the, I said, that was this date. And they could see the date when they go. So anybody can do that. And then we'll see if we could, find
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun being here. I'm hoping that you're having fun with me and people are enjoying this. I'm sorry it was such a morose topic tonight.
It's not that morose because you're here. You know, it's all that you're here.
I'm here.
You're telling us firsthand, you know, who would want to get on?
Thank you.
You know, who would
want
to?
Very thankful.
And we are, you know, and you're one of us.
I'm very thankful. I'm here and,
you know, we're dinosaurs.
It is what it is. I hate to use, I,
don't
you
use
know
that
what,
term.
I hate
that
term. Expression.
I hate it too.
Really, I hate it.
We talk it about, is, oh my God.
This is what it is.
Just finish the sentence.
None of it.
What
none of
is
it? Was
it?
Negative. You know, I have one lesson I've learned from all this that I would leave people with this one lesson.
Here we go. Go.
Be here now. Be here now. You're here, so be here now, and don't disqualify yourself. In other words, don't say, oh, I could play music in a coffee house. That would be fun, but who's going to listen to me? Who's going to show up? Who's going to, you know, I don't have a great voice. Who's going to, don't play mind trips with yourself to disqualify yourself. Just be here, be you, go with it, and believe that you can and that you're offering something to somebody. Because I think every time you do it, you are. Every time you give of yourself, you know, your unique self, you are actually offering something that somebody wants.
Yeah, and even if one person likes it, that's an audience. An audience starts at one.
If three people showed up and they were lonely at home and came to your coffee house performance, and there were just three, it was a rainy, dingy night, nobody really showed, a couple of people, and they left happy.
I liked the people who didn't like me. I liked, I did.
The hecklers, right. The one guy, you were there playing the one guy and he was heckling you.
I had ways of handling people with, you know, fun time, but, it's true. Just do stuff. Do it. Be where you are standing and do what you're doing. That's just
here. Be here now is my thought.
Be here now is good. Yeah, that's, you know, we had, you know. We had a while back, we had Alan Watts' son on this show. We had, and he told us a lot about, and we introduced people to certain, Western Zen stuff. Sure. So we're in there. We know what you're talking about. That's gotten me through hard times too. You know,
when you're 20 and or 25 and you're out partying every day or, you know, newly married and raising a family, you don't really think of these things like Zen or, you know, coma or spirituality as much. As you age, you realize the importance of these things, you know, giving of yourself and, you know, the imprint you're leaving on others every day.
You're true about most people. Then my problem was not problem, but when I was in therapy, in my 30s, I asked my shrink if she thought I was going through a midlife crisis.
And she said, no, you're going through puberty, Frank.
Yeah, listen. No.
You're 14, Frank. What are you talking about?
She said to me, from what I've heard from you and about you, you've had a midlife crisis since you were five. So
I was always going through a crisis.
Yeah. So, you know, you always
that's creative people are that way, all of us.
Well, listen, you take care. And
it was good to talk to you.
Let's stay in touch. You know, send links or do things or what have you, and we'll put you. And let's get on here again in later February, beginning of March.
I can't reach you on Facebook anymore, so I'm going to have to reach you.
I gave him my number for texting. You could, whatever, and email me. We'll get in touch and whatever. You know?
Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I am so no one, or maybe there are other people who are happier because I don't want to make it as a contest, but I am so absolutely happy, that you are as resilient as you are and that you did not leave us now. I don't care what it's like on the other side.
I don't care
what it's like, if it's great or what have you. I want you here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Love you guys. We'll talk.
See ya.
Ciao. Dusty Nathan, and he's going to have a book. Yeah, he's going to have a book. That's going to be terrific. Absolutely terrific. And fcatolo@yahoo.com. That's where you can get me. I approve this e-cast. I made a lot of notes because I'm going to tell my friends who know Dusty. If they haven't heard it, tell everybody to listen. That's a really good one, too, because, you know, we didn't make any, we assumed everything. And that's what you need to do. We didn't preach. He didn't preach. Thank goodness he's alive. That's what I say. And we'll have him back again as things go on. My name is Frank Tolo, man's name, and joins the title of the show. You know what to do and where to go for all the stuff, and we hope to have you back next week. And we hope to be here. ControllerChronicles.blogspot.com. Find out what's going on. And you can still, I'm not on Facebook a lot, but you know, you can friend me or write to me there. I do go check in. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you may be located. Great to see Dusty again. Oh, I saw him. You didn't. We just heard. Okay, that's that. We'll be around when you're aware to get in touch with us. I'll leave you now because I have nothing more to say.